May grace fill your hearts from God, our Father, and peace through the work of Jesus, death on the cross, and announced to us as forgiveness of sins by his resurrection from the dead. Amen. We turn our attention, as I said earlier, to the second reading. I'm just going to reread the first verse there, where the Apostle Paul wrote, "But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth." In the name of Jesus, my dear brothers and sisters and fellow believers in him. Kind of an old guy now, so this memory is from long ago. But as a grade schooler, probably 10 or thereabouts, I can remember we used to go down a block away. There was an empty lot next to the school, fenced in, where we could play baseball. And you'd usually have a couple of men that were boys really that were chosen as captains. And then they would choose from those who were gathered there one by one who would be on their team. And so when you were chosen, it's a good feeling. Somebody wanted you to be on their team. That word choose is in our text today in a much more important way. Paul writes to the Thessalonians, but this is God's word meant also for us, that God chose you, brothers and sisters, for salvation through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and belief in the truth. We'll talk about that. But first of all, consider who this is who says, "But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters." The Apostle Paul. Now, you may well know that when we first come across him in the Scriptures, he doesn't have that name. It's not Paul. But near the end of the seventh chapter of this Acts of the Apostles, which you read the beginning of, the first three verses, in the end of the seventh chapter, we come across a young man named Saul. And what's he doing? He's there watching the garments of those who are stoning the first Christian martyr, Stephen, one of the deacons who had been confessing Jesus Christ as Savior, and arrived the ire of the Jewish leaders, so that they were stoning him to death. And it says Saul was there watching their garments and that he approved the stoning of Stephen. Then, in Acts chapter 9, he's on his way to Damascus with letters from those same Jewish leaders because he's going to continue that persecution, looking for those who believed in Jesus as Savior to take them captive and put them in prison. And in the middle of the day, a bright light and a voice from heaven, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" The voice of Jesus himself, who called Paul. He was struck with blindness, sent into Damascus, where the Lord sent the prophet Ananias to speak to him, to baptize him, to tell him under God's direction all that he would do and suffer for the Lord as he became perhaps the greatest missionary that ever lived, going throughout the Mediterranean world. And we know in the Scriptures, in the Acts of the Apostles, of various missionary journeys, at least three that he made, and maybe he went later on also to Spain and beyond Rome. And it's he that says, "We ought to thank God always." How can you always, all the time, every day, thank God? Well, it's the same Apostle Paul who, in his first letter to the Thessalonians, speaks about praying without ceasing. How can we do either of those things? Pray without ceasing continually, always be thanksgiving. It's speaking about a lifestyle. Thanks living, if you will. Thinking of your life as a life of prayer, an open book to the Lord who saved you. Surely Paul looked and thought of it in that way. Thanksgiving always for what God had done and how he had rescued him. And the apostle had gone knowing the time would come when he would suffer and die, but to be able to look at it with confidence and joy because the Lord Jesus' suffering and death on the cross had paid for all of his sins, which were prominent in his thought and heart. He was very aware of what he had done, said the least, less than the least of all God's apostles, because he had persecuted the church of God. And so he speaks of living a life of thanksgiving, a life of open prayer to his heavenly Father. And surely that ought to be the way we approach it as well. Each of us has our individual story. We think of how, in my case, I was brought up in a Christian family from early on, baptized, trained, and had the opportunity, as some of you may know, to serve the Lord in various parts of the world, including Central Africa and throughout the United States, and Michigan in a congregation, and Wisconsin and Pittsburgh. And you have your story that the Lord has brought you to know Jesus, who suffered and died on the cross, paid for your sins, and that proclamation goes because of his resurrection from the dead. And so we ought always, you too, to be thanking God always. And Paul says, brothers and sisters, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. God chose you. Really? How can we know that? How can I know that God chose me? All these people in the world, 2,000 years after the life of Jesus and his ascension into heaven, God chose me? The enemy is always active, seeking to get us to doubt that that could possibly be true, that God chose you for salvation. I want to remind you of something that we find in the very first book of the Bible in Genesis, in the Garden of Eden, God's perfect creation, and the first human beings, Adam and Eve, who were unlike us in that they were without sin. Created in the image of God, knowing him capable of rejecting the enemy's temptations. But Satan, who had been cast out of heaven for his rebellion against God, came in the form of the serpent and approached the woman and said, "Did God really say you shouldn't eat from this tree?" And she answered correctly, "Yes, God said that." But she wasn't firm in that, sending him away. And so when he said, "God is holding back from you, he knows that you'll become like him, knowing good and evil, and that the fruit will provide wisdom," she took it and ate it. She didn't stand firm in the word God had given. Did God really say? Yes, God did say, "Do not eat from it. When you do, you will die." And that has brought sin and death into the world, and all of us subsequently, we don't even have the capability of an Eve to reject that temptation. God chose you. How can we believe that? Did God really say? Yes, God did say. It's there in the scriptures. Jesus to Nicodemus, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him perish, but have everlasting life. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And in Peter's second letter, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus, by his suffering and death on the cross, the holy God-man who shed his precious blood, who suffered the punishment of hell, paid for all the sins of all people of all time. But the enemy doesn't want you to believe that, that God chose you for salvation, that he calls you through the word. But look what Paul writes. Through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. There's that word sanctifying. Big biblical word meaning make holy or set apart. And that becomes what we are, set apart, sanctified, when we have that belief in the truth. The truth that Jesus said, he is a king that came into this world to save sinners by his suffering and death on the cross, and accomplished that when he said it is finished, and it was vindicated when he rose from the grave, and forgiveness of sins like he said to his disciples when he breathed on them. You have this power. You proclaim this word of truth that sins are forgiven, that God loved the world and sent his Son. And so that word comes to you, and the sanctifying work of the Spirit at setting you apart, bringing faith into your heart. How does faith come? Faith comes through hearing the word, and the word is heard through the message of the Savior. Paul wrote that in Romans 2. No man can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit, the scriptures say. So when you're hearing this message, the Spirit is at work, working your heart to convince you that Jesus died for you and paid the price for your sins, and that God has chosen you for salvation, and that eternal life is yours. That's why it's so important what Paul also says here when he says, so then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. Stand firm and hold fast to the teaching that has come through the scriptures or through the word being preached. Stand firm, because the enemy is going to be there, as he was to Eve in the garden, and through all the temptations that he is going to put into us. Don't believe that God has chosen you. Sometimes it's been described as a road that leads to heaven with ditches on either side. The one ditch may be overconfidence. If Jesus died to forgive all my sins, it doesn't matter how I live. I'll go to heaven anyway. Jesus didn't rescue us to remain and wallow in sin. You remember the woman caught in adultery? He said, I don't condemn you, but go and sin no more. Because living in sin makes you a slave of sin and returns you to that from which God rescued you. We can't have overconfidence. We need to trust in the forgiveness won by Jesus. And the other side of that, the other ditch, is despair. I'm such a great sinner. How could God possibly forgive me? Like Judas, who went out and hanged himself because he betrayed the Son of God. Not like Peter, to whom Jesus looked and he realized, I have denied the Lord. And the Lord appeared to him. We want to avoid both ditches and stay on the road that leads to salvation. And how do we do that? Stand firm and hold to the teachings which I have given you by word of mouth or by letter. That's why it's so important to regularly gather and study and hear and be immersed in the Word for thanksgiving and for a life of prayer to the Heavenly Father. Think of it like our physical nourishment. Don't we eat every day? And if we don't, what happens? We starve. The same is true with our spiritual food. We need that spiritual food all the time. That's why Paul says, stand firm and hold to the teaching, whether by word of mouth or letter. We need that so much more than we can possibly think or imagine. We need to be strengthened by that word, and that's why the apostle concludes when he says, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. How does God do that? Through the Word. He comes to us. That's where we hear him speak to us. That's where we have that encouragement to know that God chose you, brothers and sisters, for salvation, first fruits, to be saved. Like the Psalm verse that we read, I will not die, but I will live. Yes, we know that we may leave this earth in death, and for some of us it may well be much closer than others. But eternal life is ours, like Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. God strengthens and encourages us through that word. May God give you strength and encouragement through the sanctifying work of the Spirit working in your heart as you hear this word, and give you the conviction and belief in the truth that God has chosen you for salvation. Eternal life is yours with our Lord Jesus forever in heaven and all those who believe in him. He's risen. He's risen indeed. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today on Grace of God Sermoncast. We hope this episode has been a source of inspiration and reflection for you. As we wrap up, we want to remind you that Grace of God Lutheran Church is here for you, and we invite you to be a part of our community. If you have any questions, if you want to learn more about our services, or simply connect with us, you can visit our website at graceofgod.church. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast to stay updated on future episodes. And if you enjoyed today's content, please consider leaving us a review. Your feedback means a lot to us and helps others discover the message we're sharing. Before we go, a quick reminder that our Sunday worship services are held at 510 Deer Park Avenue, Dix Hills, New York, at 9:30 a.m. every Sunday. We would be delighted to have you join us in person and experience the warmth and fellowship of our community. Thank you again for tuning in. Until next time, may the grace of God be with you always.